Dispatch, the Sun, the Gazette.
And the Chronicle? Yes.
Wasn't the Chronicle then?
Criterion.
No, no.
There was an English paper called the Chronicle.
No, what's
that? The Telegraph.
Telegraph. And did you read the Criterion also?
Yes.
And you read your own paper?
Oh, yes, of course. I wrote our own paper. I used to different names.
Yeah. You started with the Volkskrant, which you kept for a while, and then you had the Wegweiser.
Yeah.
And then you had the Indicator, or yeah. First you did the...
But the same thing, the Indicator and Wegweiser is the same thing.
Yeah, and then you switched, then you did the, and you stayed with the...
Leader.
That was the longest.
Yeah.
When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
As a child, I was religious.
Did you observe all the religious
rules? Yes, I have to, yes.
Did you change during your first 5 years in Pittsburgh? You don't have to answer if you don't want.
No.
Did you change your religious beliefs or practices?
Where?
They say in Pittsburgh, because most of the people came straight to Pittsburgh, I think what they mean is during the first period of living in the United States that you changed your religious practices.
No, the same thing, Orthodox.
Did you go to a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Which one?
The Beshanka. Mm-hmm.
Did you belong or you just went there?
No. But Chofetz Chaim, and later on. Mm-hmm. I was the president of Chofetz Chaim.
Are you still associated with Chofetz Chaim?
Yeah, yeah. In Beis Medrash HaGadol.
Beis Medrash HaGadol is in the early days.
Yeah.
Now it's combined with Beit Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know because I interviewed Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah.
He knows a lot about the synagogue in the early days because his father, so he told me a lot of the things. What about carrying on observances in the home? I guess that's
what you're saying. Oh, yeah, very religious.
Yeah. You can't help yourself. Go marry revolutionists.
Yeah.
Did you experience any change in health due to climate, food, or anything else when you first came to Pittsburgh?
No.
No. If you needed a doctor in Pittsburgh, where did you go? Did you have a private doctor?
My brother was a doctor.
Oh, that helps.
He was a bachelor.
Wasn't his bachelor, not a doctor.
No, but this explains why there are no Lilashinskys running around, because of family name, right? Their daughter is carrying on the tradition, but he didn't.
My brother had those daughters too, and never no more.
And that's it. That explains it. I see Nathan as a family name because...
Everybody used
them. No, the name Nathan is in your family name. Because Laura's father's name is Nathan too. And I imagine it's after some great grandfather or something, the name Nathan. You never went to these clinics. Did you have a pediatrician for your children?
Dr. Lichtenstein.
You know why we're collecting these? Because everybody has different memories of the time. And I think we didn't do the chapter yet on medicine. We want to have one chapter on health and children and so on, and try and get a little bit of a picture of what it was like to raise children in those days on the hill.
He was
a regular doctor. He wasn't a pediatrician. I don't want to...
I think later on he became more so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Somebody has mentioned a lot of the women went to Baba Hama Sandowski, who was a midwife.
Baba Hana.
But I haven't, and the Ralph Sugar is her grandson, and I was supposed to interview him, and I haven't been able to get to him.
And then Mrs. Rosenthal was also a midwife. Dr. Goodstone had a sister, Mrs. Rosenthal, and she to help my mother, her brother was a doctor. She was a midwife.
She was sister of
Dr. Goodstone.
Would there be any descendants of Mrs. Rosenthal around the
community? She has a daughter, but I don't know her married name. She's a school teacher. Mm.
That's interesting. Mr. Borka?
Yes.
When you first came to Pittsburgh, which organizations did you join?
The Zionists?
The ZOA.
ZOA, Maccabean, the camp of the Maccabean camp is also of the Sons of Zion.
This is something separate?
Yeah, separate.
But this is B'nai Tzion?
Yeah, B'nai Tzion.
Mm-hmm. Very active in that.
Do they have B'nai Tzion anymore in Pittsburgh?
No.
No. At that time, though, they had B'nai Tzion in Pittsburgh. The Maccabean camp meant Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Is that the name for the Pittsburgh area?
Yeah.
Did you join any socialist group?
Workman's
Circle?
No.
No. Did you join any labor groups?
No. No.
No. Did you join the synagogue, or you just used to go davening there? You became a member? I'm talking about when you first came. You were in your 20s.
Yeah. No member.
No. Okay. Did you belong to any charitable organizations at first?
No.
I know you were a young bachelor.
No.
It's not
common.
Did you give charity?
Very little, like this, mainly to the Zionists, the Jewish National Fund, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, usually women go into it. Where did you go to have a good time?
I had so many banquets, many dinners that I go.
You mean in the line of duty?
Yeah, so many.
To cover for the paper?
Yeah, every one of them. But every week is something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you go just for your own fun? To dances
for both,
and stuff like that?
For both.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any sports?
No, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any association with the YMCA?
No, with MHA, but not CA.
At the time that you came to Pittsburgh, what were the local meeting places or where people got together?
Yeah, 1851 Center Avenue.
What's that?
The Zionist Institute.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the Zionist Institute?
Oh, yes. It is the Zionist Institute was bought by the Zionists, and it had a big hall, and they had the meetings, and they had the entertainment there, and they had concerts and everything in the Zionist Institute. And later on, it was sold for $30,000, and it was given to Israel.
Nachlat Pittsburgh near Afula.
That's it, Afula.
Now. My sister-in-law's kibbutz is right near there.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law is a member of kibbutz Zari, right near Afula.
I was in Afula.
You saw the Nahala?
I was there, yeah.
I'm interested in how the Zionist Institute was run. Like, was there a board that decided who was in charge of it?
Or what?
Of the Zionist Institute. Because there were a number of Zionist groups that belonged to it.
No.
There was the ZOA.
No. There was a Zionist organization.
Yeah.
And there's a board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
In 1921, there was a split in the Zionist movement. One split was the Brightness movement.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was Weiss movement, Stephen Weiss movement. When Chaim Weizmann came to the United States, he wanted to have the 5-year plan. And if he came to Pittsburgh in 1921, that's where he became organized, where I became so active in this movement. So he wanted to come to Pittsburgh. And Marsh Niemann, no one wanted those who were for Brandeis didn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Dr. Snitzer, Dr. Lichtenstein, Abels and Resch, and Amter's.
Which Amter?
Max Amter. Max Hazen, see, all this. So I called them up and said, are we going to be for for Weizmann. So we organized ourselves for the Palestine, Palestine, oh, I have it here, the Palestine Foundation, something like it, called it, and Dr. Sitzer became the president. And that's the time we brought the Chaim Weizmann to the city.
And Chaim Weizmann spoke?
Yeah.
At Zionist Institute?
No, at the Syrian Mosque.
Oh, because you had a large crowd.
Yes, sir. Beck Center was the chairman out of the Syrian Mosque.
Who was the chairman?
Max Emder.
Max Emder. Is he still alive?
No.
No.
Is he Emmanuel Emder's brother?
No. Sam Emder.
Sam Emder's brother?
Yeah.
Well, Sam Emder is the brother of Emmanuel Emder, unless it's a different Sam Emder I'm thinking of.
Frank Emder,
yeah,
I don't...
Well, there's nine brothers and sisters in the Emdorsky Emder family.
I don't remember...
Henry Emdorsky was in...
And, which one is it? Sidney Emder's son?
Sidney's son. Herschel's son. Herschel's son.
It's a very big family
yeah.
here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brothers and sisters.
I know.
I'm just interested because one of the people we interviewed was Sam Emder.
Max, and he was come to Pittsburgh. Obviously,
they had the cloak store, but
let me talk to everybody.
No,
I can't talk.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. So you have Chaim Weizmann here.
I don't care whether it's chick luck or not.
Mr. Borkham, who was stronger in Pittsburgh, the Brandeis Group or the Weiss Group?
The Brandeis Group was the rich people there.
They had the money.
Yeah, the money. And we had nothing. And I'm the one who organized them. And when I came to Pittsburgh to Weizmann to come here, I'll tell you what had happened. Louis Lipsky wrote to me a letter. Please make sure that Pittsburgh will accept Weizmann, and you do everything you can. So I called up and I gathered up the group and we organized it for him. And all the letters were in my house, my office. All the letters were. Everything was in my office. Everything was in my office. All the money come to my office. Everything was in my office. And then I wanted to have a parade with Weizmann. So I organized a parade.
You had a parade?
Oh, a big parade with Weizmann.
The Hill District?
Yeah, downtown.
Was it covered by the local press?
Yes.
Do you remember the exact date? Because then I can look up the picture.
Yeah,
1921. Do you remember the day?
Something like it. I don't know when. So, I'll tell you what it was. I had on the automobile. It was Chaim Weizmann, E.V. Babcock, the mayor, and I was, Lou Borkham was in it. We are the three who were there machine, because I organized everything. And then we had a party, we had in the Syria Mosque, we had a sellout. And the first one in Pittsburgh who made a contribution for the 5-year plan was Charlie Levin. He made $500. And that was already the biggest contribution. And from then on, it came up more and more and more. And later on, our group was the Zionist organization.
When did the Brandeis come back again to
join the Zionist parade?
Oh, beautiful. I'll turn this off for
Zionist.
A second.
Brandeis was in Akron as a convention in Cleveland,
yeah.
1921 convention in Cleveland. Brandeis was in Akron, Ohio. He didn't want to come to the convention. He was there. He stayed there in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob DeHaas,
yeah.
was his manager.
Yeah.
So he'd come every time, every hour he comes from the convention to Cleveland to Akron.
Mm-hmm.
Back
and forth.
Yeah, back and forth. And the Zionists, meaning Lipsky and Weiss, they combined, they gathered against him,
mm-hmm.
against Brandeis. And later on, he resigned altogether.
Yeah. Tell me, here in Pittsburgh, at its height, how many members do you think the Zionist organization had when it was strong?
Oh, we have about 500.
How strong was the Politium?
About 100.
Who were the founders of Politium here? Do you know any people I can talk to?
Yeah, there's Siegel. No, he's dead.
I'm talking about Pittsburghers.
Yes.
To talk to.
Yes.
Any idea what you're talking
about? Kaufman, Dr. Kaufman's son, father was a Pittsburgher. You know Kaufman?
No, I don't know.
Here.
No, remember, I'm not a Pittsburgher.
Oh.
No, I mean, active in Politium, among the original people, do you know any who are still around in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Siegel is dead, and Kaufman is, I think he's dead, bereaved now, and Dr. Max Weinberg was no more, and I don't think.
The thing is, a lot of people left Pittsburgh, you know, so that they may be alive, but then they may be alive in another city.
No, no, not the big ones. Not here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. Siegel and Morgan and Kaufman. Morgan died.
Mm-hmm. Which Siegel? Louis Siegel?
No,
no.
Different Siegel. We have a Siegel here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Siegel here. You know what he tell you? You ask Mr. Mother Curtain Company, right here.
Oh, Arlok is in Politium.
Yeah, he will know.
Who else used to come to the... Oh, Politium went to Labor Lyceum. Who else used to come to the Zionist Institute for meetings? All the Hadassah ladies?
No, not so much.
The Socialist Territorialists?
Yeah, sometimes we had the Central Relief Committee,
mm-hmm.
and so on,
uh-huh.
and the People's Committee,
uh-huh.
and all this, Refugees Committee.
They used to meet at the Zionist Institute.
Everything there.
Okay. How did you meet people during your first few years in Pittsburgh? Through Dr. Jacobs? Through Mr. Jacobs, or are you just on your own?
No, my own. Because I'm a newspaper man, so I knew everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I introduced myself, and they knew me.
Mm-hmm. Were you friendly with non-Jewish people?
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Did any of your first friends, when you first came, remain lasting friends? The people that you met when you first came, did any of them remain friends?
Yes, sir, at the same time. 30 years.
Did you have family here in Pittsburgh?
No one at all.
Did you maintain contacts with people in Europe? Relatives in Europe or in Israel or in other parts of the world? After coming to America, I imagine your father wrote.
Yeah, but not I.
Yeah. After you got the rest of the family over to America, was there anybody left in Europe from the family?
Yes. Yes, a lot of them.
Were they lost in the Second World War?
Yeah, in Polotsk and Sorotina and mm-hmm. Vitebsk, all of them gone.
Was any of your family in Israel?
No.
Nobody went to Israel?
No.
You're an American citizen?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you become a citizen?
My Robert Lenz is in Israel, but his daughter, his sister is in Israel.
Oh, from his side?
Yeah.
How did you acquire your citizenship?
My own.
When how old were you?
1924.
When did you first vote?
In 1924, after I became citizen, I voted.
Which party did you belong to?
Republican.
You You want to tell me why?
I don't know, because everybody is Republican. That's all.
Were you active in the party?
No, no.
Are you still a Republican?
Later on, I became very active in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Became active?
Active in the, no, not a politician, but
no.
Active because I knew everybody. I knew all the, I knew the Republican and the.
What about when you ran for office?
When was it? No, this is, asked me to run only for one purpose. The seat are not an anti-Semite. It was ran an anti-Semite for the office.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me to take away some the Jewish vote so that he lost.
I see. In other words, you weren't out when you were out to get votes away from him.
Take away from, see, the two men, two non-Jews, was Republican and the other one is anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm.
So to the, if I take away some Jewish vote, so the anti-Semite was lost.
Mm-hmm. When did you first meet your wife?
Oh, about a year later.
About 1922?
Yeah, something like that.
How?
I met her at a banquet or something like that, you know. I met all the people banquets and...
You mean you were introduced to her?
Yeah.
How old were you when you got married?
To 20-something. I don't remember how old.
And how old was she when you got married?
She was about 4 years younger than I am.
Well, maybe she doesn't want to tell.
Yeah.
What date were you married? Do you remember the date?
January something, I don't remember.
1924.
Mm-hmm.
You were married in the United States?
Yes.
How, you knew each other 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Your marriage was not through a chaperon, obviously.
No, no.
Do you think if you had remained in Europe that you would have been married through a chaperon?
Very likely.
Now, your wife was American-born, right? Or
yes.
Canadian-born?
Yes, she was 9 months old.
Where does her family come from?
From Poland.
Do you know the name of the town? It doesn't matter. I probably have it in that little book about him.
Yeah.
But he was a rabbi in Montreal, wasn't he? Rabbi
yes.
State. Did any of your friends or family marry non-Jews?
No.
How do you feel about intermarriage?
Well, you're on the, yourself, you have your own environment, you have everything yourself.
In other words, you're opposed to intermarriage,
or
you're for
it? Yeah, I can't help it, but it's not opposed to intermarriage. No.
You're not opposed?
No.
Okay. Many young couples today have trouble getting along with each other. What were your problems of adjustment during the first years of your marriage?
Mine or
yeah.
somebody else?
Yeah, you. If you don't want to tell, you
don't. No, there's no adjustments. We have
problems.
No problems.
Okay. Who made the important decisions in the home?
Most of it is mine.
Wonder what your wife would say if she were here now. How was this different from your house when you were a child? Or is it the same? In other words, when you were a child, did your father make the decisions or did your mother make the decisions?
The mother. Over the mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of schooling did your girls get? We can start with the oldest one. Your husband was talking about how much he wanted to go to school and he didn't have the opportunity, and I was wondering if your girls got a chance to go along to school.
Doris, the younger one, she went to Pitt and then she finished at Hunter.
She got a master's
in
psychology or in guidance?
She went straight on and then she started teaching school and then she kept on going to school, went to go to that school for guidance counselor a few years ago, and then last last year they sent her on a grant to Puerto Rico for 3 weeks.
Does she have a PhD?
I don't know what she's done. We don't know.
And she works as a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
How many children does she have?
Three girls.
What's her family name again? I don't need
a name. Tekula.
T-E-K-U-L-A. It sounds Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Is her husband Spadi? And the other daughter?
Naomi, Amos.
Oh, she's married to Rabbi. Did she go on to college?
She went in her junior year. She was in third year. He met her. She tried to get back into school. They lived in Lancaster at the time, when we first married, and all schools were taken up by the XGI.
Yeah, yeah.
And she couldn't get in, even Franklin Marshall, all over, they couldn't get into school.
So, but she got married while she was in college.
Oh, yeah.
Did your children go to Hebrew school?
Oh, yeah.
School?
My father and sister were having private classes all the time, so we always had a private tutor at home.
Mm-hmm. In other words, even though he was one of the founders of the Hebrew Institute, the girls had private tutors.
Yeah, we had teachers at home all the time.
My dad
did the same thing with us. We always had private.
Where did you get the tutors? I mean, did you get people who were teaching at the Hebrew Institute or something? I assume that since Naomi married Rabbi Landis and she's in an environment constantly of Jewish education, that she has continued.
Not so much. She hasn't continued.
I met one granddaughter. Don't you have a granddaughter named Sharon?
Yes, she goes to Brandeis.
I met her once in a car about 4 years ago. We gave her a lift or something from one place to another.
She's in Brandeis.
Yeah. But Rabbi Landis' children went to Hillel.
And Nina goes to Carnegie Mellon. She's a senior at Mellon. She takes up chemistry.
Oh, boy, the grandchildren.
Mark, he goes to Peabody now. He graduated from Hillel. And he goes to the yeshiva every weekend here at the Gedola.
Yeah.
He stays with us.
Oh, that's great to have grandparents around to study. Was there any significant difference between the way you were raised and the way you raised your children? I can't ask your wife because it would be two different answers because she was raised completely different from the way you were raised.
He was completely different.
Completely. I mean, he came here running away from the pogrom, and you grew up more or less in a stable kind of environment, and they had to wait 3 years till his mother came over. So, I can imagine that it was a different kind of thing. But would you say there was any difference between the way you were raised at home and the way you raised your children?
Better than I did.
He had a hard life.
Do you remember any problems in raising your children that may have been due to the fact that you were an immigrant?
No.
Now, there's a place here.
You had the education here.
Yeah. That seems to be a major motif in your life.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Education.
Mm-hmm. There's an extra page that we have here called Other Subjects. Now, I know that in the process of our discussion, we've touched upon a number of things where I've turned over because you gave me a lot of extra information that I didn't have room for. And I was just wondering if you feel that there are any significant things that you would like to tell me as someone who came to America as an immigrant and who adjusted to American way of life and who succeeded, whether you would like to mention something special without me questioning you.
Is it anybody else or myself?
No, you can talk about other people, but I think it refers specifically to the individual. You see, one of the aims of this study is to try and show how the Jews managed in one generation to bridge this tremendous gap from being immigrants to becoming really a very, very important part of the American life. Other immigrant groups, it took three generations, four generations. The Jews did it in one generation.
See, when they came here as immigrants, they always wanted to be somebody. So they educated themselves and they wanted to work and make a living and get someplace and get this, they get the family and they get them together good. You see, I cannot explain myself correctly.
No, I think I have an idea of what you're trying to get at. The idea of working to bring your family over.
Over and make somebody.
Make something oneself.
Yeah, I cannot explain it myself.
Well, one of the things that was brought up, I mean, people are always saying, don't blow your own horn, don't talk so much about how Jews aren't doing this, that, or the other. And I think that the fact that in recent years, other groups have started to try and show their importance that it has aroused Jews who usually used to say, let's keep quiet, let's not say anything, to become interested in doing this kind of thing, and trying to find why it's true that Jews succeeded very often. Because there was a time when Jews often didn't want to talk about it.
They hide it. You even hear now more even with the actors and all their technology made Jewishness now where they used to hide it.
And there was C.P. Snow when he came out, he probably read in the paper, when he came out and he said something about maybe there's a genetic reason. Maybe Jews, because of the survival of the fittest, and they have to work in a hostile environment and they have to get ahead in a hostile environment. He talked about the higher percentage of Nobel Prize winners among Jews and so on. Just now I read an article in Hadoah, that comes out in Hebrew, in which somebody said that all of the most recent advances in physics have been made by Israelis.
Hadoah, Ribbeloff is my friend.
Mm. You read Hebrew?
Yeah, a little bit, but the Ribbeloff is my friend. He's a good...
He's not anymore. I know, but I remember him.
My father used to subtract my daughters, their little...
We still get it, but they're extremely expensive. Hadar is up to $20 a year now.
My father used to get it for my children.
I get it every week. And my husband says he treats it more or less as a donation for the furtherance of Hebrew language, because no other magazine is that expensive. It's very expensive.
And we